Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for coming to this shiur. We are approaching Parshios Tazria and Mitzora. When we think about someone who has Sara'as, we know that they get put in excommunication. To some degree, they are called quarantined. They have to leave the camp. And this evening, I would like to speak about the topic of excommunication. There is a long history in Halacha about excommunicating people, and certainly it's not something that we are so familiar with in our generation. So we'll start from the Parsha, and we'll see if the concept of what we call a cherem, a nidui, things like that, if that really comes up. Okay, Abe, I'm going to email you the Maror Mekomos right now. No problem. Okay. So the Torah in this week's Parsha says, V'atzaru asher bo, so someone who has Sara'as, he has to display certain signs that would indicate that one should stay away from him. So his clothing is ripped, and he grows out his hair. He does something to close off his lips, you know, seemingly covers his lips, and he calls out the words, Tameh, Tameh. So ask the Gemara Moed Katan, what in the blazes is this guy doing by calling out Tame Tame? Rabbi Abo Amar Mehacha, Vitame Tame Yikra, Tuma Koralov Omaris Lo Parish. So the context of the Gemara B'nai Moed Katan is that whenever you have Tuma in the ground, you have to indicate where the Tuma is. You have to make a marking, you know, lest a Kohen walk there or someone who's looking to not get Tame, you have to, you know, have a Tziyun of it somewhere. You have to have a marker, you know, that here lies Tuma. So that's what the Torah says, that the Tuma, so to speak, calls out and says, stay away. Okay, so this pasuk in the parsha says that there's a concept of the Tuma needing to warn people to stay away from it. But ask the Gemara, I thought the pasuk is coming to teach us something else. When someone has Sara'as, he has to tell the community that he is afflicted with Sara'as. And when the tzibur finds out that he has this sad predicament, they will daven for him. So the Gemara says, yeah, they're both true. Why? Because the Torah does not only say Tameh one time, it says V'tameh Tameh Yikra. So since the word Tameh is stated twice in the pasuk, one teaches us that the concept of tuma should call out, stay away. And the second time the word tuma is in the pasuk, it's telling us that he should call out almost to advertise that he's tuma, ironically, not so that we run away from him, but rather so that we daven for him. And the Rambam actually counts this as one of the 613 mitzvos, namely that we are commanded for a mitzora to be known. We need to publicize this impurity of the Mitzora because we don't want people coming close to him. And there's no question that in like very clear halachic literature, we stay away from this guy. If someone did one of the sins that warrants Sara'as, most famously Lashon Hara, and he's now afflicted with Sara'as, writes the Rambam, he has Hilchos Tumas Sara'as, Perek Yud Halacha Vav, so once he is quarantined, he goes out of the camp, he has to what? Cover his head. And again, he covers his mouth as if he's in mourning. He rips his clothing. And just like we learned in the Parshas Psukim, the Rambam now codifies the halacha that he needs to say, stay away from him. And even if he's a Kohen Gadol, he needs to do these things. Okay, now he's so excommunicated, the Rambam goes on to explain, V'asr b'sheila shalom, you can't say hi to this guy. It's as if he's in mourning, and technically speaking, right, when you visit someone at a shiva visit, you don't initiate a conversation with them, you wait for them to speak to you. He can't launder, etc., and all these different laws, which would essentially say that this guy is excommunicated. I just wanted to point out the dichotomy here found in Chazal, and that's going to set the tone for this evening, that on one hand, the guy is calling out, Tame, Tame, stay away. Yet on the other hand, what's he also saying? Tame, Tame, please daven for me. And that means I want to become close, meaning include me in your prayers. Even though I can't come to shul, I very much need the community to include me, if not physically, at least in their thoughts. And the whole idea here is that someone who did something wrong, on one level, needs to be punished, excommunicated, yet at the same time, perhaps ostracizing an individual is not always the best answer, because we need to make him feel like he should be included if he's ready to return to the community. And I'll teach one comment of the Netziv before we branch out, and I'll try to hear your opinions before we learn the main sugya for the evening. The Netziv, in his commentary to the Parsha, explains the following. He calls out Tamei, Tamei. Do you know what that indicates? That he's only Tamei. Because the truth is, you might have thought that he was even worse than Tamei. You might have thought that he was an Avel and Menuda. So ironically, the Netziv emphasizes that by him calling out, I'm Tamei, he's specifically teaching us, I'm not excommunicated. I'm not an Avelus. I'm only Tamei. And essentially what that means is that I'm not as distant as you may have thought. So it's an unbelievable idea that even though this guy who is so severely Tamei with Saras, but yet he's able to publicize the situation. So that teaches us that anyone who has Tumah should always inform us of their Tumah. But again, the Netziv writes, V'lo litu rabim shu ovel umenuda, she'olchim gam kein b'derech metzorah. Meaning you might have gotten confused between the guy who is excommunicated and the Metzorah, but they're different. And the Netziv is specifically saying that the guy who has Saras is, to some degree, more attainable, he's more reachable in the state that he's in. So I'll
so to answer it's Dafka the Kohen and the teacher.
Who bring him back in.
And he's actually the one who has to visit.
Right, the Kohen goes to Madam Say and the teacher, right, meaning we give this guy visiting hours, so to speak.
And not just a regular person, a Kohen.
Right, very good, right. He's brought in. In fact, the whole parsha, once when I was Rebbe in MTA, when I was part-time and I was still in Smicha, I made my Chumash students write a paper on the purification process of Taras.
Yikes.
Anyway, so I'm going to tell you one intense scenario, because now let's speak about this very heavy concept of excommunication, because it's really on the books. And we know nowadays people are put in cherem, you know, all the time by, you know, certain communities, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But I'll tell you one scenario. I had a friend who married a non-Jew. And I was also a Hebrew school rabbi, and there was a woman and a son, I taught the kid, and she married a non-Jew. And on one level, I was very invested in having the relationship with, again, my childhood friend. And my friend was dating a non-Jew. And this other woman married a non-Jew. And it's kind of my job to be the spiritual rabbinical figure, whether professionally or socially, whatever the case. And I wasn't sure where I should draw the line, because I had this friend dating a non-Jew, very close to me. We'd hang out every now and then. And by befriending him or continuing the relationship, it might have been misunderstood to condone his behavior. And I asked my own Rav, who knew the situation very well, and he said, listen, excommunication used to accomplish something that it no longer accomplishes. And if you were to break the relationship, it wouldn't really do any good. And in that particular case, again, it was a case-by-case situation, but he basically was teaching me that if you stay close, it could lead to good. And if you sever the tie, what good does that do? And that individual is married to a Frum Jew today. Frum Jew today. And, you know, Jews have their own journey. And similarly, that other case, you had a woman, again, all right, so she married a non-Jew, but you know, I think her husband ended up converting. You know, everyone has their own story, but her son was a Jew, and her son was a very strong student of mine. And, you know, again, so when you excommunicate, you can't just, like, you know, decide in a second. nowadays, especially to excommunicate. At the same time, it really is on the books. There's Dapim and Maseches Moed Katan that directly address the sugya. There's a Rambam and Chasam Torah that addresses it head on. And there is no question that the most classical of our sources, for thousands of years, and more recently even, have been teaching us to excommunicate people. And here's just a line of Shulchan Aruch. Here it is. Yoredeya Shin Lamed Daled Aleph. Which means the same book which teaches you how to keep kosher in your kitchen. Just a little bit differently. The same book teaches you. Ha'over al Devar Isser. Anyone who violates an Isser. What's an Isser? They keep on kosher. I don't know. Menadin oto la'alter. You excommunicate him immediately. We're all... Anshei Cherim, right? You know, Lemaisa, that's yikes, to say the least. So, okay, the Ramah already says, well, listen, maybe if it's only a monetary issue, you give the guy 3 strikes, you warn him a few times before you excommunicate him. And then the Shulchan Aruch writes, well, how does this excommunication work? Well, it's a minimum of 30 days. See if he does tshuva. So, you know, we'll pick on Robert, you know, because he's known to be particularly, you know, soft and gentle. You know, the person I would say least likely to be excommunicated at this table, I think we'd all agree, is Robert, no? I think so, based on my knowledge of Robert. So we give Robert 30 days. V'meino chozerbo, if we inspect him after 30 days, shonim linadoto la'achar shloshim yom, he gets a second round of excommunication. V'meino chozerbo, even if he has not yet done tshuva, wait another 30 days, and then he gets this new level, umachrimim oto. He is bumped down to a new level of excommunication, meaning being in cherem is worse than being in nidui. We can elaborate in the end. And what that means is afilu paga harego patoch shloshim yom, even if it's a holiday, but you're still in your 30 days of excommunication, nope, too bad, you excommunicated. Now, what does it mean? The Ramah says, "Umenadin lemishu chayev nidui, vafilu yeshlochu shaydechin yetzel atarbus ra'a." And the Ramah specifically addresses the question of what if putting him in excommunication will lead to a spiritual downfall. You put him in excommunication, he's going to go off the derech. Says the Ramah, "Ein lachush bekach." That's not our problem. Whoa. Yikes. All right, so I'm going to open up, if anyone has a strong opinion or a question at this point, does anyone think that we should potentially soften the blow? I just learned the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah with you, which don't have the same tone as a soft American. Peter, what do you got?
That's it, soft American. I think times then are different than times now.
Yeah.
And maybe the Ramah wouldn't be saying it if he lived here today. I don't know.
Well, the Ramah did explicitly address our question and said, yeah, they're going to go off the derech potentially, and we don't care. So meaning, I totally hear what you're saying. I even fed the question. So Peter says, maybe the Ramah would be a little bit more lenient in light of what? In light of what?
Society today, morality today, coming back today.
So I would say the two issues that come to mind are the Chilul Hashem. I would imagine that would take place because of the communication of social media. Everyone would find out, and the Jewish religion would probably develop a reputation of being maybe a little bit too exclusive. That's something that comes to mind. And people are coming back more now than ever. So maybe where in the past, maybe once someone went off the derech, they didn't come back as readily. Yet this evening, I already told you a story about someone who was dating a non-Jew and is married to a frum woman this evening, and it's not an uncommon tale. So Peter wants to say, intuitively, we should not be so strict in this generation. Yeah.
So what do you think? What the point of the theorem was? I mean, was it to incent them to come back because they'd be excluded, or was it to sort of, cord off the troublemakers?
So I love that. I love that question. So how he has a brilliant brisker chiluk. He says, well, there's a tremendous difference of based on how the point, what's the goal of the chayr? If the goal of the chayr is to inspire him to do tshuva, so okay, so then we go with Peter. We don't want to send people off the derech. The whole point is him to do tshuva, which already though we saw that the Shulchan Aruch says you give him extra communication and then we wait and see if it worked. But says Howie, maybe there's an additional point of teaching the community that there are standards and we're not excommunicating this guy as a Musar Shmooze so that he does tshuva as much as we need to show the community that we don't tolerate this garbage. And therefore, if he goes off the derech, that's not good, but it's upholding our standards, right?
Yes, and
yeah,
not just from an at-large community perspective, but also, so you're cutting the fishing line, which is like he's got friends, he's got if he's ooh, in the community, he's you know I'm gonna bring you to meet this girl, if she has a sister, whatever.
Very
and
good.
You kind of excise that.
That's right. Event. Purify the camp. And by the way, that's exactly what the Torah says about this exposure. You purify the camp. We keep the camp clean by getting this guy out. Very good. Very good. So we're going to see this machlokas literally in the potion. Yeah.
You're also missing the whole point.
I'm missing the whole point. Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay, but go on, Adam.
You got thrown out of the community in 16th century Krakow.
Oh.
Where are you going to go?
Where are you going to go? Very
good. The Goyim are not going to take you.
Very good. Very
the Jews
good.
Don't take you. So there's a point.
What so.
With the person who's dating the shetzer now.
Right. He's not feeling too excommunicated. Right.
So with, you're not part of the community anymore. Well, he doesn't care.
Right. So Adam's pointing out that when you got excommunicated, you know, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, you were missing home. Nowadays, they look happier on social media than they really are.
You can't feel like a non-Jew.
All right, there's a lot to say there. I will preface the next section of this year with a story. Almost exactly, I don't know, 15 years ago, whatever it was, I was a Shana Aleph kid in Poland. We went, it used to be called Heritage. We would go to visit the pre-war Jewish communities. And the great Rabbi Aryeh Hendler from Shalavim was showing us around this old shul somewhere in Poland. And he points to some chair with some chains. And, you know, what do you think that was? I don't know, a place where they would put the Sefer Torah. You know, you put the chain around it. No. That's where, if you were put in Cherem, they would tie you.
Penalty box.
The penalty box. Very good. Right? You would basically... They would essentially chain you to the wall.
Put off somewhere far away.
I guess different menhagim, different shuls. I don't know. And as everyone... What?
You gotta go to shul to be put in.
Yeah. Something like I don't know exactly. But he was saying this is what you, if you were patched, it was humiliating. They would walk into shul. They would see you. They would exactly laugh, and it was very humiliating. And in the same way that you know a student who was put in timeout or had to wear a special hat, even in American history, you know, we know that it wasn't so crazy to not excommunicate, but to we'll say highlight the wrong so that he comes back in. So the Taz, he obviously has a very famous commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. And on the spot, he comments on the Ramah. The Ramah said, Europeanly, how we don't worry if they go off the derech. And asked the Taz, with his prophetic American nature, Tamir Ali, Hai Milsa Tuva. This is a particularly troubling predicament, question, a wonderment. Deheach nechosh l'iser she'ose zeh v'nevi'eyu lidei tarbus ro'ach chas v'shalom. So we're so bothered that this guy did a prohibition that we don't care if he goes off the derech. Asher kol ba'eh lo yishuvun. They never come back once they go off. So ask the Taz, why are we so quick to excommunicate? Now, when you learn your Yoredeya, it's the Taz versus the Shach. And not only is the Taz versus the Shach, it's a ping-pong match. The Shach even wrote a secondary Sefer to respond to the Taz's critiques on the Shach's first Sefer. So the Shach writes a Sefer, the Taz, you know, hits him, and then the Shach writes the Nekudas HaKesef to respond to the Taz's critiques on his original writings. So he says, okay, So the Taz is bothered, right? I think I got that right. I might have messed up some of the deals. But the Shach's and Kudas are Kesef. He disagrees with the Taz. And even though there was a lengthy Taz and he brought different proofs from Shas, he says, all of his proofs can be disproven. And he says, you know what? Tahacha keva and the din based in who? Shemenadin oto ein lachush. We have a rule on the books that the court, the Beistin, has the authority to excommunicate. De'im lokein batla din Yisrael. And here the Taz wants to throw a judicial overhaul. He wants to take away the power of the Beistin. And says the Shach, all puns are no longer intended, we are no longer having any political references, but the Shach says, You can't just take Beistin's power away, because then the whole religion falls apart. Like, you can't just tell Beistin they can't do things, because all of a sudden religion will no longer look all that religious. We excommunicate. So here it's almost like what Howie was saying, that you got to hold up the standard. You're sending a message, you're preventing future sins. And certainly as a teacher, I deal with this all the time. If you are lenient to a student, you're sending him a message, you can get away with it, and it's going to happen again. If you're strict with a student, the message you're telling him is, you can't get away with that a second time. Now, sometimes a teacher needs to be lenient. Sometimes a teacher cannot afford to be lenient. And that's exactly the pull that the Taz and the Shach are fighting about. The Taz says, you're going to be too strict, you're going to push everyone away. And the Shach says, yeah, what about religion? You're going to just let people violate Isurim and there are no standards? Come on. It's an amazing machlokas with tremendous implications. But believe it or not, there's an explicit Gemara which can be read in two completely different ways. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was on his deathbed. And when he was dying, he was telling his Talmidim around him of certain inappropriate activities that were going on in Klal. So clearly he had some nevuah, ruach hakodesh at the end of his life. And in this context of Shas, Taf Ayin Beis and Maseches Kedushin, the Gemara is speaking about people who have illicit family lines, meaning there was some mamzeris issues, yichus issues. And Rebbe was saying, there's a city over there, or the mamzerim, and there's a city over there, that they're goyim, and there's a city over there with the two brothers and Rahman and Letzlan. They share each other's wives. And he's kind of just telling people these secrets as he's about to die. And he says, and there's a city called Birsa de Satya. And they are straying from Hashem. And on that day, Rebbe said, you know what they're doing right now in that city? The Akpe Peira Bechavri Bishabasa. There was a Shabbos where the fish were overflowing in their pond. The Ozul Vitsadu Behu Bishabasa. And despite the fact that it was Shabbos, they went and they caught fish. And then Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi says, Vishamtinu Rebbe Achi Rebbe Yoshia. They were put into Cherim by Rav Acha, the son of Rav Yoshia, Vishtamud. And all the Jews of that town went off the derech because they were put in Cherim, because they were excommunicated. You know the question the Rishonim ask, Achronim ask in this Gemara?
Is that a good thing?
Like, what? Or, they first ask, so what? They're like, let's say you're on your deathbed. Like, you probably want to say some pretty important things, right? Like, Yaakov even wanted to reveal the date of Mashiach. That was like top priority. He wasn't allowed to do that. Why would Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi say this town had a bunch of Jews who were put in Cherem and then went off the Derech? So Rabbi Weintraub in his Ruach HaKodesh says, because maybe he was trying to tell us what?
Either way, because Shtamud, good.
They went off the Derech and we don't care.
Right.
Or he was saying they went off the Derech. And that's how it goes.
Being
right. Ah.
So they were put in the chair. Sorry, they were put in the chair, and the rest of the community went to Derek?
I think the individuals. Well, I think the whole town was excommunicated.
The whole town was.
Yeah. Because.
both.
right, very good.
Sometimes maybe he's trying to tell us, don't meet him, you know, don't trust these people, and, you know, don't trust their agents and things like that. That's good.
That's very smart. That's a Litvish answer. I like that. That on a halachic level, I'm saying you can't trust them, but Edus, I like that. Okay, but yeah, seemingly the whole town was put into Chayrim, or at least the sinners, majority of the town, whatever it is. So the Radvaz, he actually left Spain because of the Spanish Inquisition. He, unbelievable story. He leaves Spain as like a 12-year-old kid, and he becomes the Radvaz. He becomes the Gadol of Tzfat, and he goes to Cairo to become the rabbi there. He writes a famous commentary on the Rambam, and he has Shelos Chuvos, unbelievable Jew. But imagine being kicked out of Spain as like a 12-year-old kid. So he is dealing, unfortunately, in his time, you know, I guess, you know, the 1500s. And he says there are people who are going off the derech. They're doing very clear sins intentionally. They don't mind what they're doing. They know they're sinning. And people want to hurt them or, you know, send them a rough message to stop. So should we continue to do this, basically? I mean, there are people asking the Radvaz, should we be tough or not? Yeah, meaning, you know, the Jewish mafia, what do you want to call them? Because they were threatening, if you continue to hurt us, we're going to go off the derech. That is a great line, right? It's a brilliant, high school kids, right? Like, you know, if you're too strict, then we go off the derech, right? Yeah, halachic blackmail, that's how we call it. Very good. So the Ramah has a lengthy introduction, and he says, I'm sorry to hear this, etc. But for the sake of time, I did underline the main point of the Shuvah for our sake. And he says like this. If we are so sensitive to worry about these guys going off the derech, Tispatel HaTorah LeGamri, the Torah will be completely irrelevant. Right, meaning exactly what the Shach said. It's going to become public. All of their friends are going to know about the fact that they got away. We're turning a blind eye. And they're going to continue to sin. There's going to be more gezel. There's going to be more adultery. And the Torah will not be upheld unless you're particularly pious. And he says, every generation, we punish the wicked. And we just don't care about the repercussions. And he says, in the same way, if you have the opportunity to do a mitzvah, ein ma'avir na le-mitzvos, you don't pass up, you don't overlook a mitzvah opportunity, whether it's a small mitzvah, a big mitzvah, if a mitzvah comes your way, you do it. Similarly, ein ma'avir na le-averos. If an avera comes your way, it's brought to your attention, it's your obligation to inflict punishment, based on as an obligation to uphold the standards of the Torah. And this guy's already saying, I'm going to go off the derech. So it says the Radvaz, I'm calling his bluff. He's going to go off the derech no matter what you do. He's already, he's making you feel guilty. You know, he's going to go off the derech whether you hit him or you don't hit him. Our job is to keep the halacha. But then the Taz comes back to Peter's point. And he says, okay, although I was a little bit forward and maybe a little bit harsh, he says, Af al gav shekasavti kol zeh lehalacha, mikol mokum yesh, Lemanig hador lios masun bedvarim ke'ela. Every leader of the generation needs to be particularly patient in this matter. Levi she'ein kol ha'anashim shavin velo kol ha'averot shavot. Not every person is the same. Not every sin is the same. And that is the tone of our generation. This tone of the Radvaz, this is the line of the evening. Because someone like Rabbi Yudin will see a Jew in his beginning stages of development and know we're going to let him do X and Y of Avera because he's not maybe ready to hear it right now. Right? The whole Baal Tshuva phenomenon in America so requires the Rabbanim to be flexible. When you're ready to take on more, you come back. And the more accepting, tolerant, and understanding the Rabbanim are, the more mitzvahs will be observed. That's certainly the tone of our generation, and it comes from this Radvaz. It's an amazing idea. I thought it was unique, though, because growing up, didn't really have so much practical exposure to people getting excommunicated. Again, I do want to just point out, in the Shulchan Aruch, he writes the dinim of what happens to someone who is a nidui. You don't sit within his four amos. The machlokes, whether his wife and kids may or may not. The Rama says you can be lenient. You can't eat with him. You don't make a zimun with him. We don't include him in a minyan. And very clear rules about how to excommunicate someone. And then, even in the Shulchan Aruch, he writes that if the guy wants to come back, right, if he wants to do tshuva, so that's obviously when, you know, when everything changes, you know, his tone changes. We write over here, it's explicit in the Shulchan Aruch, that im chazar bo misaskin im olachol davar, right? So once the Jew has stopped doing the Aveira, so again, we do business with him again, etc. But I just wanted to point out that Nir Shalom Dal the very, very clear guidelines on how to deal with someone. But again, to see this live in action, has anyone ever seen this before? Has anyone ever experienced like a formal excommunication of a Jew? Right? Pretty rare, right? Until this year. We got an email from the RCBC this year about someone who refused to give a get. Ah. Very good. Okay. So Rabbeinu Gershom, so had a cherem that you married two women, you're in cherem, and if you maybe refuse to give a get, you're in cherem, whatever. So there was an individual in Bergen County, right? And there was like a scathing email. I'm not going to say the guy's name here. I don't know if he did tshuva yet. Let's just assume he did, but I don't know the story. But he didn't give his wife a get, and he was summoned to Beis Din and didn't go. So, yes, once you're a misarev, if you are in that category, the Sarvan Ladin, then you really get excommunicated. And they wrote in the email, they said, all members of our community should distance themselves from this man. Number one, three bullet points. They should not speak with him unless absolutely necessary. They should not host him in their homes. They should not conduct any business with him. So literally, Simon Shin Lamed Daled of your day came to life in Bergen County this year. And it was clearly after a significant amount of back and forth where they summoned him to Beis Din, he didn't come. And you know what? They write in the letter, once he complies with the psak and gives his wife a get, he will be welcomed back into the community. Unbelievable. So the Radvaz's tone is that so different than Shulchan Aruch's tone? So even the most machmirim also are waiting for the day that these people come back. The goal is not to excommunicate. The goal might be to uphold standards, but everyone would love these people to be better. There's no, and they even end with a tefillah that we hope he listens and does the halacha. So just a couple of stories with 2 minutes to go to Marv. I work with the great Rabbi Chaim Jachter, who is a posek and a daya, and it deals with Gidin. And in preparation for the shir, I asked him, what's the deal with Cherem Nidui nowadays? Do we do it? Do we not do it? We did it this year. He said, no, we didn't. He quickly corrected me. He said, we were very careful in the wording of the letter that he is not in Nidui. Because apparently the Rama holds that we don't put men in Nidui over not giving the wife a get because we don't want them to be in the halakha category of someone who's refusing to give a get and is therefore giving the get against his will. Right, in order to give a get, right, we wanted to give a get, b'leiv shalem, not against his will. Rabbi Jack was telling me there's a Ramah that says that we tried. Yeah, very good, very good. So yeah, Adam's holding the circuit, but essentially we don't want to put someone in excommunication for refusing to give a get unless he refuses him to paste them first. So there's a little bit of a unique asterisk by get in particular where we want the guy to give the get willingly, without the pressure of excommunication. But clearly, it is what we do practically. Meaning practically, this guy was excommunicated because he didn't give a get, but the wording was different. There's a story that Rav Willig himself witnessed, and I heard from Rabbi Talbashlit that there was a person who refused to give a get in Riverdale, in Rav Willig Shul, and eventually the guy did give a get. And the Shabbos, after the man gave the get, Rabbi Willig told the Gabbai to give the individual shlishi. Why? Because the whole point is that we're trying to convey to the community that we want to welcome them back when they do the right thing. So again, obviously, rabbis are a little bit at a disadvantage because what authority do we have? We put someone in excommunication nowadays. That's why Rabbi Willig urges everyone to do the prenup And because again, if you go up to someone and say, I'm a rabbi and you're excommunicated. So, you know, Rabbi Jack, there's another story where he did that for the first time. And a guy said, 1 second, close the door in Rabbi Jack's face, got a baseball bat and then opened the door. So you have to realize that rabbis are not exactly the most intimidating individuals, but things like the prenup can work and the like. But the goal needs to be obviously to make him included in the community and not ostracized. And let's daven more.